Thanks, Don. You did not make too many announcements. And again, as I said to you yesterday, I really appreciate your enthusiasm. I mean, your announcements are fun to listen to. You know, it's not just la, 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 la. So thank you. And I want to comment on a couple of your announcements. Actually, I can only think of one comment. I had several as you were reading. And one is, I did get an email from Locke this morning confirming his sat song. I hadn't heard from him, so I'm like, oh! So yes, he will be here on Sunday. And the other thing is, I specifically mentioned to him that our members would have questions, and he said, I welcome all questions regarding, you know, like the theme of my book or something. So yeah. So, and I know you've read it. So yeah, that'd be great. I'm really looking forward to that. And I think he's absolutely, like you said in your announcement, right there with teaching, you know, what we're learning, the awareness, watching awareness practices, the glimpse practices. So. Good. Dawn's formulating her questions, she says. Another thing that occurs to me is we have seen Shauna's sock puppet, but you haven't seen mine. And he's sitting right over here. I just gave him a home over here, so I'm going to get him and show him to you. He's... Isn't he adorable? He's living over here now, so I want to put him up. I just wanted to share. And it's funny because I and Shauna's looked very feminine, and in my mind this guy, well, I don't know. You know, she had the long hair, and I don't know, I just got that from her. And it's just interesting to note that the voice that I hear in my head, it's not, there's not like a tone to it. I was going to tell you that when I refer to that voice, I refer to it as he. So I just think it's interesting that I don't know what all that's about, but, or why I'm telling you, but I did. Okay, I'm going to quit rambling, and I'm going to play a song.
Now everything I know is God.
Yeah, that was a cool song. I'm trying to get it to, let me, oh, sorry, I started again, didn't mean to. There, I wanted to be able to see you guys in this too. trying to figure out where to start here. Starting talking about trust, and I picked the song. I looked up a song about trust specifically because this is what's up today. I love these first, I'm looking at the lyrics here. I love these first two lines, and maybe that whole first stanza, I guess they call it. It says, when it doesn't go my way, I know that it is not the end. Okay, well, so we're I'm recording that to the cloud, so maybe she can piece these two things together or not. So we just listened to a song called Trust by the Hillsong Young and Free. Anyway, and I was talking about the lyrics, and the one lyric says, when it doesn't go my way, I know that it's not the end. And that reminds me, I think it was the, what is that? The Most Excellent Marigold something hotel movie talks about how everything will turn out all right or well in the end. And so if it's a, if things aren't all right, then you know it's not the end. Something like that. I'm also reminded of that phrase that Connie and I talk about often from the movie Mr. Nobody, where Nemo, the main character in the movie, says, you know, everything turns out in the end, even badly. so really, I think these ideas are central to this idea of trust. And you know, when I was, formulating this retreat that we did this past weekend, that was one of the questions that I asked. I don't think I actually ended up asking this in the retreat, but it was like, so, you know, so if you give up your reliance on the thinking mind, if you quit believing what's being said here, you know, people go, okay, so how do I operate? Hi, Dawn, welcome back. she still seems to be frozen. Maybe she's just being really still. I think she's frozen. yes, the best exotic Marigold Hotel, Shauna says. Yeah. So if you quit giving up your reliance on this to tell you who you are and what to do and how to behave and what to do next and, you know, what's good and bad and all of that, if you quit relying on that, where are you? And, you know, we've often talked about it as being in the wobble. So in that wobble, you know, you have to turn to something. So what is that something you turn to? And that something you turn to is trust. Okay, but what am I trusting in? Everything's going to work out in my favor? No. No. And really, it's a matter of trusting that all is well, however it shows up, which is interesting to me because in my reading of A Course in Miracles, that is how I have defined forgiveness as well. A long time ago, I looked at some of these terms that the Course was using and how they might be viewed so that they were helpful, you know, because for so long that remained theory in my mind, you know, I'm at home with God. I see the Christ in you. I practice forgiveness, but what is any of that real? I mean, how do I do all of that, right? So so when I began to look at that idea of forgiveness, it was really knowing that all is well. Recently, I've looked at the idea of forgiveness, and as you guys who are in general healing year one know, it's really turning from the, you know, not true, knowing that only the truth is true. Turning from what seems like reality and turning to reality instead. So but I don't want to get too far afield of this central idea that comes to me to look at. Let me see if that may have been a text. My phone is on vibrate, and I'm thinking it could be Dawn, and it is. And she says, what we had surmised, the internet is down because of the storm. So, yeah, I'll just let her know I'm recording. Okay. So, this trust thing came up because I recognized, hi Don. Welcome back. So when you left, I started recording to the cloud. So maybe you can take what you've got and then what's in the cloud and piece them together, or just, yeah, whatever. Or just start from where I started recording. Anywho, so looking at this trust issue, I realized that I am still trying to manipulate people and situations. And it's like, dang, got it. And this came up for me. I'll give you one example. It's coming up. But one example is in the retreat over the weekend. Somebody said that they needed to leave a little bit early. And I'm like, oh man, you're really going to miss out because we got this and this and this that absolutely have to be covered today. I mean, it was kind of like that coming on strong, you know, not fussing at them or anyway, but I mean, just feeling in my body. Oh no, this has got to be covered and this has got to be covered and this has got to be covered. And, you know, and then later I went, oh, well, wait a minute. Maybe this day will just unfold the way it unfolds. And it did, and it unfolded beautifully. And I think we probably covered, I don't think we missed anything either. I think we covered those things. I was like, it's got to be covered. But it wasn't because I was going, now we're going to cover this, and now we're going to cover this. You know, I wasn't trying to force it into that. And so... I'm also reminded, so I see this coming in terms of time. For me, it's like that same belief that there's a limited amount of time, and so this stuff has to get done. So I've got to take over. My mind has to take over so I can make, you know, get all these pieces together and make sure that we get it done. and I'm reminded, and you all may have heard me say this before, I'm reminded of a talk that Dr. David Hawkins was giving. And he's like, you know, he's in the middle of this talking. He looks at his watch or whatever and goes, oh, we are way behind. We better slow down. And really, and, you know, Ian was talking about having to slow down this morning, right, to see what's really going on. And that's trust. It's slowing down and getting out of the way so that what is to happen happens. And I was trying to look, I couldn't find it, but in the Course in Miracles, I didn't look long, but in the Course in Miracles, a few lessons ago, came up that line, if you only knew that everything is planned gently for you, right, by someone who knows, I butchered the line, but that's okay. You get the idea. And I was really surprised. I'm like, oh, that's the lesson it's in. And I thought it was in lesson 132. I loosed the world from all I thought it was, but I'm not seeing it. But I was surprised to see where it showed up. But this is the same idea. And it's not the idea. Again, sometimes these ideas in Course in Miracles, I think, have to be translated into practicality. But for me, it seems that it's not the idea that, okay, there's like this static script that's been written, you know, and therefore all I'm doing is following the what's directed in the script. It's really that there's a flow to life. And within that flow, all is well. So I don't need to try to manipulate persons or situations to conserve these scarce resources. You know, let's get back into the separation here, right? No, let's just let these things unfold and trust that that unfolding is perfect. And that's exactly what that first stanza in that song said. When it doesn't go my way, I know that it's not the end. I'm trusting you have better plans I haven't even dreamt of yet. So what's unfolding is exactly what's to unfold. You know, whether you get to all five items on your list or you only get to the first two, that's perfect. So again, I've seen this come up in a couple of ways that I did, that there are limited resources, time being one of them. And the other thing that I've seen come up, again, that I want to manipulate is that, like, if I'm teaching, I really want the person listening to get it. It's like, let me make you get this, you know. not helpful, right? Number one, I'm teaching so that I will learn what it is that I'm teaching. And number two, whatever's helpful is inherently helpful. It's not, you know, because I've forced it into your brain. I think Regina addressed this when she was talking about how you empower employees rather than controlling them, right? You just say, here's what we'd like to achieve. If I can help you in any way, let me know. Not, here's what we got to achieve. I want you to do this, 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 you know. That's just not, it's disempowering to everybody involved, which is what the Tao was saying. You know, we talk about love being freedom, and of course, love being the creative force behind everything. So, obviously, we also heard the course say, teach only love. How do I do that? I do that by extending freedom to you. Does that mean that all the buses quit running and the grocery stores close down? No. You know, here's the job. Good luck. Let me know if I can help, right? Or that Awakening Together shuts down, or whatever the scenario is. Does that mean, you know, that there's not still an order to things? No, of course there's an order. It just means that it need not be forced by me. So I realize, I'm like, well, why would I still be, you know, trying to manipulate people, situations? And I realized that it's really the result of having an agenda, having a place I need to get to at the end of the hour, having a place I need to get to at the end of the day, or a place I need to get to at the end of the year, right? Whatever timelines I've put on that. And in order to do that, you need to do this, 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 and this. Yeah. And what that is really a lack of trust lack of trust in my brother, a lack of trust in allowing life to flow, a lack of trust in pausing for a moment, and like Regina termed it a while ago, rushing ahead of the guidance, right? Let's see what the guidance is. You know, does something need to be different here? Don't just go, oh, it doesn't fit with what I thought was going to happen. Does something need to be different? If it does, then that's fine. You know, particularly in a managerial role, maybe you see something that needs to be going in a different direction. But let's stop for a minute and really allow that guidance to come in. You know, how should this be handled? By the way, Regina wrote, when we were talking about love and freedom, she said that means freedom is the creative force. She wrote that on the board. So, I hadn't planned on talking about trust today. It just came up with the flow, right? When it came up, I made a couple of notes here as they came into my head. And as Regina spoke, and as I was listening to Anne this morning, at any rate, this idea of trying to manipulate people and situations because I believe that that something's happening that shouldn't be happening, and that, you know, and again, I think that belief is based on this idea that there are limited resources. And that ultimately the idea is this need to manipulate and not just trust as a result of having an agenda. I realize that this goes to the idea of valuing the valueless. You know, where am I placing my value? My value is on getting this done the way I ought to have it turn out just exactly this way. If there's five topics, we're going to cover all five topics. You know, who is that good for? Nobody. Again, to go back to the retreat experience, I got to tell you, and this is the last day, I'm like, oh my gosh, we haven't covered this, this, and this yet. And it was a beautiful day. It was a perfect day. Perfect day. And it just gently unfolded once we let go of that idea. I let go of that idea that, you know, this, this, and this, and this need to be covered. And then Regina talked today about taking a break, and I'm reminded that I cannot think who said it. I did a little bit of research for a second to see who said it, and I couldn't find it. Like Albert Einstein or, you know, some brilliant scientist, inventor, talked about the real insights came, you know, that people would work on trying to solve this problem, try and solve the, you know, and do all these scientific experiments and try and solve, but the real breakthroughs came when they took a break. I can't remember who said that, where I read it, but Thomas Edison. Good. I believe you. Thomas Edison said it. Very good. Thank you, Don. Yeah. So, you know, again, it's that idea of we're running behind, let's slow down. It's that idea of let's just trust really what's going on here. Let's take a break long enough. You know, let's take a breath, not forge forward. Let's not rush ahead of the guidance. This is what's unfolding. What now? Not if I want to get this agenda done, then this, and this obviously have to happen. No, this is what's unfolding. What now? Oh, cool, Don. Thomas Edison, when he was trying to figure out the light bulb. Very cool. So I think Regina's talk was, you know, I was already thinking about this issue before she began her teaching of Tao Te Ching this afternoon, and I think it was just right on point. It occurred to me, I'll tell you that, I don't know what's going on about journaling. It seems like the only journaling I'm doing is writing tips. And so I'm like, so the other day when I'm thinking about my program, I'm like, again, didn't seem like there was much to share beyond from my journal beyond those tips. And I began thinking maybe, which I'm doing in general healing anyway, right? I mean, I'm sharing my contemplations around the tips. So, I began thinking maybe I should be reading from something. you know, just as a jumping off point, right, to teach what I would learn. So this thought of trust came in, and guess what? A Course in Miracles teaches all about trust. And so I thought that I would read to you from the teacher's manual, what are the characteristics of God's teachers? So that's what I'm going to do. So, and let me say, before I start reading, I might actually get to reading today. We'll see. As I glanced at it this morning, prior to teaching, I noticed the lines. Here it is. It's actually under, you know, it's trust, honesty. These are the characteristics of God's teachers. Trust, honesty, tolerance, gentleness, joy, defenselessness, generosity, patience, faithfulness, and open-mindedness. But I'll note that under the second one the Course in Miracles talks about is honesty. And the first line under honesty says, all other traits of God's teachers rest on trust. So, so the trust section seems to go a little, not where I would have gone in talking about trust. But I think this entire passage, answer to the question, what are the characteristics of God's teachers, really just reinforces this idea that everything rests on this trust. It would have to, right? If we're giving up our conditioned way of being, our habitual looking to the thinking mind for guidance, there would have to be the trust there to replace it. The trust that all is well all the time. The trust that the truth of me knows better than the thinking mind. Just the willingness to set that aside and be another way requires trust. And so anyway, now I'm actually going to start reading. It says here, this again, what are the characteristics of God's teachers? The surface traits of God's teachers are not at all alike. They do not look alike to the body's eyes. They come from vastly different backgrounds. You know, this is the obviously the body-mind personalities. Their experiences of the world vary greatly, and their superficial personalities are quite distinct. Nor at the beginning stages of their functioning as teachers of God, which we all are, have they as yet acquired the deeper characteristics that will establish them as what they are. Wow. Acquired. Yeah, well, it's not something you acquire, so I'm going to fuss at ACIM for that. You know, they just haven't been recognized, I think is a much, much better way of putting that. Because as we've been looking at, and Regina talked about it this morning, you know, once that falseness, that false belief in who you are is removed, then the truth of who you are is revealed, not acquired. Course in Miracles says, nor at the beginning stages of their functioning as teachers of God have they as yet acquired the deeper characteristics that will establish them as what they are. I may not be able to read this, you guys, because let me read you this next line. This next line says, God gives special gifts to his teachers, because they have a special role in his plan for atonement. And I tell you, I looked a while ago, and it said very clearly, God gives his gifts equally to everyone, and they're all alike. So I don't know why it would say something different there. Because God gives no special gifts. There's no differences. So anyway, weird. You know, and as Regina notes in reading the course, and referring to the course, you know, they all come through a scribe. So, you know, and no scribe is perfect. She talks about part of when she was scribing NTI, and one of those things, she got scared. I can't remember which it is. She got scared, and so she just wrote what she'd read in the course. So, yeah. So anyway, we won't necessarily take some of these lines as gospel. Here you go. God gives special gifts to his teachers because they have a special role in his plan for atonement. Their specialness is, of course, this is helpful, their specialness is, of course, only temporary, set in time as a means of leading out of time. These special gifts, born in the holy relationship toward which the teaching-learning situation is geared, become characteristics of all teachers of God who have advanced in their own learning. In this respect, they are all alike. All differences among the sons of God are temporary. Nevertheless, in time, it can be said that the advanced teachers of God have the following characteristics. Okay. So, the first is trust. This is the foundation on which their ability to fulfill their function rests. And remember, our function. Regina, by the way, wrote, I'm guessing because teachers sometimes need to hear that in order to trust is why it's like, you're special. You got special talents. Good. Good. Thank you, Regina. This is the foundation, trust. This is the foundation on which their ability to fulfill their function rests. And again, our function, as we know, the sole function of the miracle worker, the teacher of God, is to accept the atonement for him or herself. And of course, the atonement is the correction to the mistaken belief about who and what we are. Perception is a result of learning. In fact, perception is learning because cause and effect are never separated. The teachers of God have trust in the world. It's interesting. The teachers of God have trust in the world because they have learned it is not governed by the laws the world made up. Is there something larger trying to be said here? In terms of like what I'm looking at, it's like, you can allow whatever's unfolding to unfold because, the world says, hey, you're teaching this class. There's five principles that need to be taught in this class and you've only gotten to two. You are not doing your job. That's not how things are supposed to work. You're supposed to teach all five of these principles, right? And so you're going to have to shove that through and make it happen. That's believing the laws of the world. But the trust comes, the trust in the world, the trust in allowing things to unfold the way they unfold, is this knowledge that the world is not governed by the laws that we think the world is governed by. In order for somebody to learn, get anything valuable out of this retreat, you got to tell them all five of these things. No. I trust that what needs to be seen, we will cover, right? What's helpful to be taught in this retreat will be covered. It says it, the world, is governed by a power which is in them, but not of them. It is this power that keeps all things safe. It is through this power that the teachers of God look on a forgiven world. And again, it's like all is well all the time. It is this power that keeps all things safe. Nothing real can be threatened. That includes the truth of who I am. It not only includes it, it's all of it. But all is well all the time. And this knowledge is how I know. It's funny, I was going to say all is well all the time. There's a larger thought here that's skipping away from me, and I want to try and get, but I'm not sure it's going to come back. Well, let me go on and read because it's not right here. When this power has once again been experienced, it is impossible to trust one's own petty strength again. So let me added an extra word to that sentence. Let me take it out. When this power has once been experienced, it is impossible to trust one's own petty strength again. I got some Amazon stuff coming. I'm sure that's the doorbell just rang. Who would attempt to fly with the tiny wings of a sparrow when the mighty power of an eagle has been given him? And who would place his faith in the shabby offerings of the ego when the gifts of God are laid before him? What is it that induces them to make the shift? Yeah, of that paragraph, I just want to say that let me save that first sentence. When this power has once been experienced, it is impossible to trust one's own petty strength again. Well, I don't know that that's entirely accurate from my experience. Because we have all, I think, experienced that trust that comes when you really do just go, it doesn't matter, whatever happens. And then to see that unfold is like, whoa, how cool is that? I never could have imagined this situation would unfold in that way. And yet I go back and go, well, but this other situation, I really need to make sure it works out. So I'm going to force it to happen. What is it that induces them to make the shift? The shift from reliance on self-will, to just trusting what is. There's the thought. It's back. I noticed that this trust and loving what is are so closely related that they could be the same thing, right? Why wouldn't you love what is unless you believed it needed to be different because you couldn't trust what is, right? So loving what is trusting what is. Somebody was talking about it. Oh, it was Regina was talking about it in that thing we listened to in General Healing last night from The Direct Means to Eternal Bliss. It's like, you greet each thing with a curiosity, like it's all a mystery. She said in order to solve a mystery, you can't just assume that you know that this means this and this and this. You have to be really, you have to give up that I know what this means, and in order to be a good investigator, right? And you can just, for me, I can feel the excitement in that, the willingness to be in that wobble. Oh my goodness, let's see what happens next. As opposed to, well, if that happens, that's not going to work out for me, right? So it's loving the mystery. That's the trust. And as you learn to love the mystery, in the trust that all is well all the time, loving what is seems like an afterthought. Oh, you gave that a name, not like I'm going to try and love what is. So what induces us to make that shift? First, they must go through what might be called a period of undoing. This need not be painful, but it usually is so experienced. It seems as if things are being taken away, and it is rarely understood initially that their lack of value is merely being recognized. And I will say that I wrote that, I'm not sure I have it in front of me, in a tip this week. About how different that lesson struck me than it did the first time. I will not value the valueless. Because the first time or the first several times around with that, it felt like, you know, somebody was trying to take something that I, by God, I valued. And you're telling me something else is more valuable? Yeah, prove it, right? but as I have tasted of the gifts of God, the what naturally arises, as I have tasted of the gentleness and the peacefulness, and the generosity, the things that arise up within me and then I share, I mean, again, what could be more valuable than that? Making sure I get this lesson done, that's what, no. Right? I'm going to forget. I do forget. Hey, Jay. again, it seems, during this period of undoing, it seems as if things are being taken away, and it's rarely understood initially that their lack of value is merely being recognized. How can lack of value be perceived unless the perceiver is in a position where he must see things in a different light? He is not yet at a point at which he can make the shift entirely internally. And so the plan will sometimes call for changes in what seem to be external circumstances. These changes are always helpful. When the teacher of God has learned that much, he goes on to the second stage. And I like that. These changes are always helpful, and you got to learn that in order to progress, right? I mean, that's the beginning of being the happy learner, being willing to explore the mystery. Being willing to allow my agenda to be undone and see what unfolds. Next, the teacher of God must go through a period of sorting out. This is always somewhat difficult because having learned that the changes in his life are always helpful, he must now decide all things on the basis of whether they increase the helpfulness or hamper it. He will find that many, if not most, of the things he valued before will merely hinder his ability to transfer what he has learned to new situations as they arise. I'm going to read that sentence again. It was a wordy, and I didn't quite grok it, so here it is. He will find that many, if not most, of the things he valued before will merely hinder his ability to transfer what he has learned to new situations as they arise. Because he has valued what is really valueless, he will not generalize the lesson for fear of loss and sacrifice. So, you know, I still want to cling to the rules of the world. You're teaching a class, you teach all five things that come in that class. Right? That's efficient. That makes me a good teacher. There are limited resources. If we allow what's taken place to take place, then we're going to run out of time. You know, it's just this whole hierarchy of what's important. I've learned to give up some things in the name of allowing life to flow, letting all things be as they are, loving what is. But these things now, okay, I'll do that so far in all these areas, but this is important. So I need to, you know, I need to take control here. It takes great learning to understand that all things, events, encounters, and circumstances are helpful. Right? All is well all the time. Let's just see how things unfold. It is only to the extent to which they are helpful that any degree of reality should be accorded them in this world of illusion. The word value can apply to nothing else. No, it's important that I get that. No, it's important that you see what's going on here, right? It's important that that I allow things to be as they are. Again, this is it's just I feel like the tip of the tongue experience, right? Like there's something right here. It takes great learning to understand that all things, events, encounters, and circumstances are helpful. And, you know, NTI talks to us about everything. About everything being for our learning. And when I first read this paragraph a moment ago, I started to say that, you know, there's only one thing going on here. There's only one thing going on here, and it's one mind awakening to itself. And anything that's not about that, it's like Helen told us on Sunday, it doesn't matter. It's, you know, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm a poet or a ballerina or a Supreme Court justice. I mean, it's just all fluff. Those are all extras. Because he has valued what is really valueless, my ability to be a good teacher, my ability to get this job done, blah, 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 blah. Because he has valued what is really valueless, he will not generalize the lesson for fear of loss and sacrifice. It takes great learning to understand that all things, events, encounters, and circumstances are helpful. All things are helpful. Whatever's showing up is helpful. It is only to the extent to which they are helpful that any degree of reality, any belief that it matters, that it has value, right, should be accorded to it. The word value can apply to nothing else. You know, David Hoffmeister, in his teachings, talks about how he was told early on that everybody he meets would have a gift for him. And so he could not wait to meet, you know, new people and go, you know, okay, what's the gift? Well, this is the same idea. It's like everyone I meet has a gift for me. Every situation I meet has a gift for me. So again, it's that idea of being the happy learner, the explorer. What's the gift in this situation? Not how can I make this situation conform to what I think ought to be going on? Man, you can feel that difference just in the saying of it. And Kathy says, like Regina being offered her dream home, following guidance to release the dream and worldly attachment. Then it is presented again for all to see the value of the learning experience. Yeah, thank you, Kathy. Bye, Regina. Yeah, we're going through performance reviews this week. Yay, all of us. No, they've all been good, fun, and all of that. Yeah. Yeah, so it's time for me to quit talking. That's probably why Regina's leaving, because it's the top of the hour. So I am going to quit talking, and I think this is helpful. Hope you guys do too. I say that because I'm going to mark this page, and presumably we'll see what happens next time, but presumably pick back up here. Unless the flow of life has something else in mind. We'll see. I love you guys. Thank you very much for your patience. Yeah, and just for being my companions.